So as I already mentioned, you know, Kronos to Workday. So I'm here to talk both about, I think I might have to mute. Let me try. I feel like I'm in a stadium, football or something like that. But I'll try and, yeah, that's not going to work. If you mute yours, perhaps. Okay. So I'm going to talk super loud.
No, stay with you.
Okay. Okay. So we're here to talk about the transition, but a part of this is we're also getting new time clocks on campus. So you may have seen some of them. They're installing them now, gradually up through January. You'll see them putting them out there. We do have signs out there explaining, you know, what it is and why it's happening. And as I mentioned, it is in January of next year. In terms of the big changes, one that, we anticipate as a win is it's one system. So today we have Workday, and people are hired in Workday, and then overnight the information goes over into Kronos, and their time cards are opened up the next day. So that day delay does cause a lot of headaches. In addition, it also causes errors, increase in errors and risks. So by having one place to go, and as soon as a person is hired, you know, they can enter time in immediately. So that's one win. In terms of the second point, increased alignment with policy. So we are looking, as we're constructing or building Workday, and I'll explain a little bit about that in a second, but we're looking at the policies and really trying to align as much as possible with policy. So an example I will give you is, this is a very common one, is meal break. By New York State law, we're required to have a 30-minute meal break. And so what we're doing is we're designing in the system warning messages that pop up that explain the law and request that people add comments in if they are not taking that 30-minute break to explain why. So that we have that information and, you know, again, it's there. The third is there's a lot of checks and balances, notifications, expanded views. So I'll jump on, you know, is we're hoping for greater efficiencies. So today I know I have non-exempt staff and I always forget to approve time. And so someone in the UBSC is always gently sends me an email and, you know, reminds me, hey, you need to do that. So we're really hopeful that the system can generate notifications based on who has not submitted time and who has not approved time. So again, increased efficiencies. The last bullet up there, or the last little point up there is it does, you know, whether people like Workday or not, it is a familiar look and feel. So we're hoping that that eases the transition. Another piece of this is that Workday is designed to be mobile friendly. And so as of January, we're not pushing out the mobile features of time tracking, but that capability is there should we want to move in that direction. All right, questions, comments? Okay, so this is just a big picture. I don't think this will come as a surprise to many, but this is really what happens. An employee enters time either via the web interface or via a swipe on the clock. They would submit their time. It would then go to their manager or supervisor, there's another role called a timekeeper. So an additional person can be listed to approve time, and then it goes directly to payroll. One of the changes is a slight shift in what we call the pay rep role. So there's approximately 350 pay reps out on campus, so probably you know who your local point person is. And today they go through and approve every person's time card. And so we've shifted away from that, and really their role is more of that audit and monitoring. Mm-hmm. So they will have the super user capability to look at exception reports and then reach out to employees and fix time cards as needed or approve as needed. Yes, question.
Going back to your time clocks.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a relationship? I mean, why new time clocks? Is it going to go into where?
So it's
when they enter, it will do it.
Yep. So when they enter their, when they swipe their cards, the new vendor is called ATS. I don't know even what it stands for, but ATS is the vendor, and it interfaces with Workday. And so supervisors will go into the web view and approve time. So that is, you know, the reason behind the change. Okay. Okay. I'm wondering if someone can move, or I can move it.
I got another quick question.
Sure. I'm just thinking that might make the demo kind of hard.
Is you know, HR,
mm-hmm.
Is this going to change any policies that we have currently? So if someone swipes their, to start and forget to do it later, and then, I mean, is this a policy change?
So I will say that, you know, we're from HR, but this project is a true partnership with payroll as well. They are, you know, they're leading this project and we're supporting. But in terms of policy changes, we're going through in great detail, looking at everything. At this point in time, there's been no recommended policy changes. But again, if that happens, then, you know, we will be escalating that.
What we've seen is that Kronos today can't support some of the policy, but Workday and these new clocks can.
Yeah, and as I said before, we're trying to design the system so it supports Cornell policy. And there's some cases where, you know, units have veered off a little from the policy. So we're looking at the numbers, we're looking at who that is, working very closely with those local colleges or units. So. Yeah, absolutely. Good question. So I'm going to just jump into the system and show you a very quick demonstration. And again, this isn't meant to be a training, but just a quick look. I will also preface this by saying we're not 100%. You know, we're in September and that we will go live in January. So what you're seeing in here is it's pretty developed, but we still have some pieces that are not complete. And also the data in here is a training test environment. Oops, that did not work like I thought. Well, it didn't work. Okay. There we go. So I'm going to start looking at the employee experience, and I'm going to proxy as someone who actually is on my team. So this is just, again, for training purposes. So Ellie is someone who is a non-exempt employee and would use Workday to report time. So she'll come into the system and she will click on this clock. And it will go much faster than it does right here. Actually, I'm going to switch browsers. I apologize, but I think it might help us. So there's a couple of different ways you can enter time, but I'm going to show you, she's going to go right to this week. One slight change is that folks enter time by week. So so when you look up here, this is really hard to see on a screen, but the top portion of the screen is really time that is not worked. So it's either holidays or time off. And the bottom portion of the screen is really time that they are, you know, have been working. So I'm going to take you back 1 week and show you that you know, on these screens, it'll show them when pay dates are. It'll show them pay period dates as well so that they can see that. And at the top, as they're entering time, it will show, it'll categorize the type of time it is. So regular pay, overtime, if they're getting a shift differential, et cetera. So she looks at it. You can see there's Labor Day is automatically pushed in. And so I'm going to try and actually close this one. I'm going to just go to today and pop in, and it gives me a time block. I would just essentially enter the time in, time out, and I would indicate I'm going out for a meal break, perhaps. And I would hit submit. So that's really, you know, what they do. It's not much different than it is in Kronos. It just looks slightly different. Questions about that?
What's the multiple position?
So that's, as I said, this is a test environment. But really what this is an advantage. Right now, one of the pains that we heard when it comes to Kronos is specifically for our student hourly that have multiple jobs. They, in Workday, they will have one card. They won't have multiple time cards. And so we're, the challenge is sometimes their position numbers are difficult to distinguish. So this, we're looking for solutions where they can easily figure out what department is so they can put time on the appropriate job. So we're thinking that there is a better solution for that. So they would submit their time. I'm going to go ahead and just submit it. And then I'm going to just show you the supervisor view. So I'm in as myself, and I could jump to directly to team time. One thing I'm going to show you before I jump into that is that time off is also impacted by this. So time I work, or maybe time I use for HAP or vacation. So non-exempt employees will report time off similar to how we exempt employees do it today. They will use that time off bucket. So as a supervisor, I'm going to show you how that looks as a supervisor. They can click on a team time and view time off and leave calendar. So what this does, today it's not super effective, but in when we go to time tracking, I think it will be more of a value add, is you will be able to see everyone on your team, exempt and non-exempt, and any time that they're requesting. So you can go here, and also from here, you could also approve that time as well. So it's kind of a master calendar of who's going to be out of the office. But in terms of approving time, there's, again, a couple of different ways. You can go to the inbox, or there is this team time worklet. I'm going to go ahead and click on that. I'm going to say I want to review time. But you can see you can also enter time on behalf of employee if need be. And it gives you different options here. So you, if you have multiple layers of employees reporting to you, you can see all of that information. Here I'm saying I just want to look at my direct reports so that I can approve their time. When I pull this up, this is a little bit of a different view. Obviously, I don't have a lot of information in here because this is a test environment, but I have 22 people, work, you know, employees that report to me. I can quickly see who, the flags indicate people who have not put in any hours or people who have not submitted their time. But from here, if I wanted to, I could click at the very top and highlight all and just go ahead and approve. However, you know, from a payroll standpoint, we definitely want to look and make sure, review as supervisors, that the time is appropriate. So the other option is I can then drill in and look at an individual employee. So if I take a look at Ellie, it's giving me a highlight of the hours she worked and the different pay types. And then on the bottom, I can see the details of when she clocked in and when she clocked out. So from here, I could approve time as well.
I have a question.
Yes.
So I have a student that does have two jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So how, when I go and approve, how do I distinguish that?
Yep. So I just kind of bopped out. But what would happen is someone who works in two different positions and has two different supervisors, for the position that you're responsible for, you would see time to approve, and you would be just approving those time.
Okay.
But when you looked at his or her time card, you could see the hours they worked in their other job, but it would be grade. So it's just information for you, but you're not responsible for approving. So. Sure.
In our area, we have teams which control their own employees.
Mm-hmm.
However, those teams are quite integrated, and it's often very valuable to see the time off for members of the other team. Is that possible within the team?
So when you're saying time off, like when they are reporting,
yeah. So we don't double in trouble off vacation.
I'm leaning back because, so this is actually one of the benefits of Workday is the customers give feedback to Workday. So Cornell says, this is what we like, this is what we don't like. And then twice a year, they're updating their product. So actually this coming weekend, we'll get a new updated version. And actually in that update, there's a couple of things that open up that time off calendar, because it's got a lot of value, and it's, you want it to be portable. So we're looking right now and testing, but there is capability of adding different permissions, view permissions to that calendar. So I can't give you a lot of details right now, but that's something that we're hoping will open up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because right now we maintain it outside.
Exactly.
The existing system, because what we need is essentially an overlay to show.
Yep. For our team, we have a whiteboard. I would love to get rid of the whiteboard. And they email me, and I'm like, now where do I go and look? So, exactly. Yes.
Is there any possibility of linking the calendars if you want to an Outlook calendar so that you have a single source?
So, I'm going to look to Seth if you want to.
There is some capability, but it's something we haven't looked at yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, we know that there's a possibility there, but we need to dig into it a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, again, Workday, there is a connection with Microsoft. So they have different vendors and partners they work with. And so as Seth indicated, you know, it's something that we need to explore more fully to see what options could be. But I think there's potential there. We just don't know the details of it.
We've got a question from one of our
great
online.
They can hear me.
Oh, yes, we can hear you. Carrie, go ahead.
I'll just start by, am I too loud over there?
No.
Okay. Just to reiterate, I think what Jeremy was saying, if I understood his comment correctly, that the idea of being able to see your coworkers' time off,
mm-hmm.
scheduled or upcoming or whatever, comes up in university relations all the time. So I would just reiterate support for that feature. That'd be great. And I just wanted to clarify, is there going to be a change for exempt employees as far as the timing of entering vacation time?
There would be no change for exempt employees in terms of how they're entering time, no.
Okay, so there, it wouldn't be a weekly thing?
No.
Okay, or like time off generally, okay.
Yeah, the weekly thing was around time entry, so entering the time that they worked. So right now we have, you know, a 2-week window, and Workday displays it week by week. So there will always be that drop dead, you know, there's a payroll processing, you know, in order to get that paycheck. There will be a message sent out to make sure people submit all their time, but the view is week by week, and the option is to submit week by week.
Okay, but not for, but this is just for hourly employees?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Yes, Laura.
I have a question for people who have multiple positions. We had a case in my office where we had an employee who was, for us, he was non-exempt. He was working as a photographer part-time. He was also an exempt adjunct associate professor. And that created an absolute
mm-hmm.
current system, and it ended up being we couldn't actually hire him off the next semester because he was too big a problem having somebody who was both exempt half-time and non-exempt half-time, two totally separate positions. Will this system
So that's not so much about the system. It's more about our appointment process. I'm looking at Tanya. So Tanya has had a lot of involvement in this in terms of the law, and the FLSA is fairly your state's standard acts and what can be exempt and non-exempt. So I guess I would answer that question that our compensation group is monitoring them very closely. But in terms of workday, it's not so much about the system, it's about how we're appointing people. So there is a red flag up on that.
It'll still be an issue. And basically told we would have to hire them as
exempt. Right. Because the other position is definitely exempt. Right. Because the...
Uh-oh, we lost sound.
Yeah, we can't hear you anymore. I'm not sure what happened.
Submit it week by week, you will get an inbox item. But as soon as you approve it once via the worklet, they will go away. So you don't have to, no, but you could. Great. Great, good, very good questions. So just a quick timeline, as I mentioned, is January. Right now, we're doing a lot of campus outreach. We're trying to touch different groups. We've met with academic supervisors. We're pulling in employees, student hourlies, and as well as supervisors to participate in user acceptance testing. And then when we get towards the end of the cycle, we will be pushing out training. So there'll be short little videos, there'll be job aids, there'll be various different materials for people to learn about the tool. I think the only other thing I have to say is, in terms of involvement, we definitely are reaching out and trying to include as many different parties on the campus as possible. So we have a campus representative group that has one point person per college or unit that is actively engaged in the project. Yep. Lastly, we do on the HR Workday site, there is a little information. We will be putting more and more as time passes, but folks can go out there and see information if they want to beforehand. Questions?
Any questions for Amy?
If something does come up, again, the purpose of this is to get out earlier to hear people's concerns and questions. If something does pop in your mind, feel free to email us at that timetracking@cornell.edu email, and we will get back to you. I think that's it.
Fantastic.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for the time.
Thank you. Can you all hear me back again?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much, Amy. And I'm going to pretend that that was Seth in the room. Also, I can't see. So
I don't know. Okay.
All right. So if there's nothing else, I'm sorry. There's nothing else going by. That's less than ideal. Sorry. Okay, I think we're good now. All right, so moving on with the rest of the next part of the agenda. Next, Gina, are you set? There's a presentation from the Office of the Assemblies on the new Assemblies website and some of the specifics around that. So I know there were some questions, particularly from committee chairs and other folks, about how to use some of that. So Gina's going to highlight some of the features for the next 20 minutes, and then we'll go into our new business after that. So Gina, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you. Can everybody hear me? I'm going to assume yes. So I'm actually going to tee up a little bit about the website, walk you through some of the structure of it, and then I'm going to tag team with Pam, who's in the room there, who will walk through some of the functionality. And Pam is also taking the lead on the training for the committee chairs and other folks who will be using some of the tools. So first of all, I just want to take a moment and thank everybody for your patience. It's been a long, long time in coming, and the need was created out of a crisis, which we took some time to cobble together tools that worked because we decided they were well enough to work. But this particular website and the functionality of the tools and the engagement component of it were strategic, well thought out. We had great campus partners. But really, it was the impact on the assembly members themselves was a lot longer than we had anticipated. And I just want to thank you again, really, for your time and patience. And we hope that you come to appreciate the tools and the functionality and know that we're still open. This is very much in what we're considering a shakedown on all of this stuff, the functionality of it. So as you have an opportunity to look at this and to use some of the tools, if that's part of your responsibility, or even just to try and find resources, let us know what your experience is, because part of the functionality is we can change it ourselves now without being reliant on somebody who is much more adept at HTML than I am. I'm a self-professed dilettante, and I revel in that fact, but that's truly all I am. And so we partner with CIT for support. We still have some resources with our developer, but really most of this we're managing on the back end through Drupal. So Pam and I have, it was baptism by fire, and I think we both know a whole lot more about how the back end of this thing works than either of us anticipated, but here we are. So if I can share my screen, Pam, I'm not sure if that's you or Ulysses.
That's all you. You can actually share your screen.
I can share my screen. Okay.
Yeah, you have to do it. It should be at the bottom.
Share this screen. Can you see it?
I can see. Folks in the room can see. Yep, it's up there. I see it.
Okay, so this the homepage again. The two pronged approach was we wanted it to be informative and engaging, and also have some tools that assembly managers could use, so that nobody was entirely reliant on the Office of the Assemblies to send out agendas or to update resolutions or to staff committees. And the committee staffing is probably one of the biggest ones. So we're even though it's a little bit of a process, it gives the flexibility and agency back to the assembly to really manage itself. And we think that that's an important part of all of this, but also we think it'll alleviate a lot of the bottlenecks of, again, we're the resources of people, time, and what we have to offer in the office are much better used to support your efforts if we can partner in all of this. So welcome to the Office of the Assembly's website. We sort of designed it so that it's, if you've never been here before, you can find yourself by what your status is at the university. Your shared governance group. It was actually a lot of fun to find the photos for this, so you might see yourselves in some of these, but the employee assembly has, there's somebody we know. The meetings, a lot of this is updates automatically. Again, the back end, a lot of the data that we put in is already there, so it systematically will update the meetings, tell you when the next one is. On the home page, we actually have a sort of an all assembly calendar, so you can look and see what's happening for the month. This is actually something we're still working on. It will collapse. So right now it shows the student assembly resolutions. If you click on it, EA will show you the most recent three or four resolutions. This is a hand curated space that will work with some of the directors of communications or VPs of outreach to make sure that we're promoting assemblies related news and updates. So Nancy will reach out to you and see if there's things that we can be reaching out for to highlight here on our homepage. But this is a hand curated spot that will become robust, but right now it's everything timed out. So, but again, from the homepage, if you clicked on the staff members, this is it's different than the assembly's homepage. This is how to get involved. A lot of it is driven by what we call these jump buttons, where you can find your representatives, the schedule of meetings. Join the conversation is something that we have pretty ubiquitously woven into the site, so that it goes to pretty much this page. But it's an opportunity for whether it's an assembly member or a community member to let us know either what's on your mind or that you want to be added to a listserv. But it's, as we say, the assemblies are designed to serve and represent the constituents. So if there's any question about what that means or how to get involved, we want to make sure that you are well connected with your constituencies, both as just staff writ large, but also as your representatives. So we do have lots of links on parliamentary procedure. I know that was that's something that will be an ongoing conversation. We have reference websites. We've got some resources here that can help you if you're unfamiliar with the process by which the assembly moves through legislation. We've got all of these things here. There's a little quick reference guide. So again, we tried to stock up some of the tools that will make it easier for you to do your jobs as representatives. If you need access to legislation, you can get them either the resolutions here or again through your shared governance. Everything is sortable by assembly term. So everything links again to the legislative history. If you don't know, if you're trying to frame up a resolution and you want to see some of the a prior iteration, you can go and use those as templates. Trying to think what else. One of the, we had a, it's not really a dumping ground, but some places where things didn't really necessarily fit for under the umbrella of shared governance that are important. And so take a look at the quick links page. Again, if there's anything else that you can think of that might be useful that you would find or need, let us know. We're pretty proud of the work that went into this. It was, as I say, a long time coming, but it is very much a dynamic tool, and so it should be responsive to your needs. So please don't ever hesitate to let either me or Pam or stop by the office and just let us know how we can better serve and support what you're trying to do. And know that you've got no greater advocates for shared governance and your efforts and time than myself and Pam and the folks in the office. We really appreciate your taking the time and volunteering, really. So let us know. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Pam. So let me see, do I need to do anything to stop sharing my screen?
You would just need to click stop sharing at the top of your screen, I believe.
Top of my screen.
Go back to the center. If you go to the top center, you should have a drop down should come, or if you click again, I'm not sure why it disappeared.
Stop.
Your actual Zoom, sorry. Your actual Zoom. But Pam, meanwhile, did you wanna, there you go, stop sharing. But Pam, did you wanna go ahead and continue? I'm just for the sake of time, we have about 5 minutes, just so you know, because we have to get to our new business. And you're muted, by the way, so to unmute yourself.
Okay, how about that?
There you go.
All right, and that, no reverb. Okay, so Gina was showing the front end of this. There is a little bit of a back end. I don't know if you all received, we sent out an update about training sessions for committee chairs. So there's one today at 4:00 in 163 day, and there's another one on Monday, I believe. I've I have calendar freeze brain at the moment because we have a zillion different events going on. But so if you're a committee chair and you want to understand how to do the back end, there are two training sessions. If you're unable to attend that, I am more than happy to come see you, talk you through it over the phone in the office, whatever we need to do. If you want to stop by, we want to make sure that you feel fully empowered to be able to manage your own committee through the website. The back end of this is what feeds in. You would be able to manage your committee staffing. So for instance, communications committee, when you click on it, you'll see a brief overview, and then you'll see all of the people who are members of the committee listed there. And then there'll be committee meetings, so you'd have the ability to put in your own committee meeting, and it would have the ability to host meeting agendas, meeting packet information, the same way that you see that here, for instance, is, let's use the last meeting because it has most everything aside from, I don't think I've uploaded the audio recording just yet, but any associated materials and things like that can be uploaded there. So it's a nice reference for the rest of your committee members instead of having this train of emails back and forth with all these different attachments and things like that. And when is that meeting and all of those different details, you could just go to one location and they can see all the upcoming meetings, the locations of the meetings, meeting minutes, agendas, packets of information, and all of that would be housed there as well as being able to staff your committees. I won't go into the minutiae of how to go about uploading all of those things and everything, but just to give you a sense of what the functionality is. Things that we most would like to know are, is this a tool that will then accommodate what your needs are as a committee? And if there's something that's missing there, we're still building in our specs for, we are always thinking about the next stages of development in this. And so because it is a tool that we want you to be able to utilize effectively, any additional insight into how you might be able to utilize this would really benefit us in terms of future development. So I think for right now, the next step would be just to ask if you have questions about this and feedback, things like that. The trainings, can I cheat and just, today at 4 in 163 day, Kevin, did you happen to send it to all the committee chairs, maybe, that email? No? Okay. Okay, so will you forward, or do you still have it, or should I? I don't have, we should create a list for all of the committee chairs so we can have a listserv that it would go out that way. And exactly. That's okay. We can, so today at 4, Monday at 5, both in 163 day. And honestly, they'll be relatively brief because if you bring a laptop, I'll have a few extra laptops there just in case people don't have the ability. We'll get you right in, very hands-on, log in, see your committee, actually go through the process of doing some of the tasks that you need to for your committee so you can use it as a work session so you can actually be doing what you need to. So if you're available to do that, great. If not, like I said, I'm glad to go over it with you. I'm really excited about you guys being able to do this because that certainly helps us in terms of, you know, we're glad to support you in every way we can, but, you know, if you're empowered to do it, that's also something less that we're doing, right, Kevin?
Is there going to be a training session that we're doing working on?
Is 4 o'clock not a working hour? I don't know.
Yeah, 4 to 5.
Clocking out.
Yeah. Is it? Okay. Yeah. I don't know what the standard working hours. Our office doesn't, we work with students and grad students, so we're, but, so we could probably.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Maybe then. I don't think it will take an hour. I blocked the room for an hour because I just wanted to keep it available.
How many people here need it?
How many?
Today's the 15th presentation about the state of the college and sciences at 3:30, so there's no way I can do it. Monday at 5 is after.
Okay. So why don't I look at the calendar and see if we can do a lunch hour? I mean, typically our Wednesday, if we did one next Wednesday at the same kind of same hour, would that be a
that
good?
That might be when some committees are meeting, though. So that's when they block up themselves to meet on Wednesdays.
Okay.
So,
well,
yeah, other than a Wednesday would probably be.
Right, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So I will take a look at our office calendar and propose something. And maybe you can ignore today and Monday, and we'll focus on our.
Yeah, you send it to the exec. We'll make sure it gets out to all the committee chairs as well, or you can do it.
Yeah.
Great. Other questions? Feedback?
Pam, you'll also have like a, you'll also have kind of a, you all will put together kind of a packet or a resource guide that will also be available on the website as well in the future for folks who just need a quick reference to go back on how to do something.
There, right. So our web developer actually is still finalizing that, from what I understand, pretty comprehensive, both not just for committee chairs and things like that, but for our own office, because the intricate details of all that, we need to have a standard of practice resource available as well. So I think because there have been some, we are putting in new tickets all the time, trouble tickets, where they, we're finding little things as more users come in and interface with it, we're finding things. So I think they've been updating that as they respond and resolve those issues. So it's, there hasn't been kind of a finite point where they say, oh, good, we're good to go and it's done. So, but we need to have that pretty soon. So, but it will be available.
So, just a clarification.
Sure.
So, you're also talking about the 1 megabyte limit for attachments?
For the listserv, the Lyris listservs. Right. So, it's not something that our office sets. It's something that the university sets, you know. Yeah. So that's why we now use, we utilize Box, and everyone should, that's a member, has access to the Box folders, and we can link, and I can give you some brief training on how to make sure that you can link and make it accessible to anyone, not just people who are contributors to that folder.
Okay, so that's part of the training.
It wasn't, but I'd be glad to include it. It's a 2-minute. I could show you in 1 minute now, and you'd be like, oh, that's so easy. And but then I'd be, yeah, so it's, if it was something complicated, we certainly would not be asking you to jump through a bunch of hoops to access information that you'd want to make public to people. It's just something we have to respond to the university. Gray hair? I dye mine, Kevin, I don't know. So you wouldn't even, so the way that it works is that someone would not even necessarily have to frequently use Box. They can just link and actually just get that document. It's like click on the link and it brings you right to the document. So it's not like they have to go searching around in Box for it. I'm so over to stuff.
It's okay. I just, because we have two other things we need to get to on the agenda, is it possible to kind of do this offline, Kevin? I'm not sure what the contention was exactly. I can't totally hear. But if this is a bit.
I appreciate your concern. You will have no problem with it, and I'd be glad to go over it. You're the one complaining about age.
Not later.
All right, we're good.
Thank you both, Pam and Gina. And let's make sure we alleviate Kevin's gray hair. Let's go to, actually, Kevin, you're up. First up, we have some new business on our agenda. Before we jump into this, I want to be very clear that things that are, for our standing rules, if you recall, things that are listed as new business on our agenda are open only for questions and comments that are not argumentative in nature. You cannot make amendments on any of the things that are proposed as new business. So this is a time to seek clarification only. Should someone wish to move something to business of the day, they must move to suspend the agenda that must be approved by a two-thirds majority of the people present, which means 13 of you, both Zoom and in the room, would need to approve that motion. Is that clear? I'm guessing that's affirmative.
That was an affirmative.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fantastic. That being said, Kevin, go ahead. You have the floor.
Okay.
The budget. And Kevin, if you could, because none of us on Zoom can hear you right now, so I don't know if there's anybody who's close to you with the mic, or if you can speak a lot louder.
Okay.
Mike.
Resolution for approval of the 2017-2018 operating budget. So I presented the budget, it's on the back of the form. Can you hear me, Ulysses?
Sorry, Kevin, it's still really hard to hear you.
Is it?
Carrie has a question.
Yep. Apparently it's busted.
Kevin, how about you just come to the front? That would be an easy answer. You're presenting. All eyes on Kevin. There you go.
Oh, is that better?
That's perfect.
Okay, so the proposed budget is on the back of the resolution. And I went past, I don't know, I think it was like past 3 years that Gina gave us the budget. We've never gone over the budget. We've just gone over some of the budgeted items that we have here. So increased the food a little bit, but we still maintained the $9,650. So because of that, I have the resolution number 4. Whereas Article 4 is Section 1 of the Charter of the Employee Assembly grants the Assembly authority to control over the own policies, operations, and maintenances. And whereas the Employee Assembly Vice Chair of Operations and Finance is charged with the responsibility of maintaining and updating the Employee Assembly's operating budget each legislative session, and be it therefore resolved, the Employee Assembly provides and adopts the operating budget for the 2017-2018 legislative session attached as appendix to this resolution. Respectfully submitted, Kevin Fitch.
All right, opening for questions at this time. Carrie, did you want to take it?
Yeah, I just had a question about the outstanding, the purchase that we were working on back in June. That, as far as I know, we had a quote for some things, but never actually got ordered. Shirts for all the members and a few other items. Just wondering where the money for that purchase is coming from, whether it's coming out of this budget here or not.
That actually wasn't submitted, so
it was
I was unaware.
Submitted and approved through the assembly and was with the office of the assembly. So there was some discussion there.
So I asked Gina then for some clarification.
I think she just dropped from the call.
She's no longer with us.
Oh, I didn't realize she wasn't on the thing anymore. that's unhelpful.
Can you wait just a sec? Pam was trying to tell us.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I actually was communicating with Gina through the office.
I'm sorry. Pam, could you come to the front? We can't.
Come on up, Pam.
It's Price is Right.
I gotta get a pen.
Last meeting in this room, and it won't have your relief. We'll be back in the 401. Have a good tech.
So I communicated with Adminders, Janet Keefe, I think, maybe. And she did send us a quote. It was pretty delayed. And so I'm not sure if you've approved the expenses on that or not, or where we didn't really get any follow-up.
Who got the quote, Pam?
Yeah, we never, I don't think anyone on exec ever saw the quote. That was something that was sort of in the works and promised after the web redesign settled down. So, but originally it was intended to be purchased coming out of our FY17 budget. And Gina had said that she was going to try and have that roll over so that we could use that money that we didn't spend. It's a big question mark at this point.
Or are the funds that are allocated that we're approving now in 17-18 going to be used? That's, I think, what Carrie is saying. Basically.
Right.
Pam?
I have nothing.
No clue.
Well, it's up to questions.
So. I'm going to forward okay. I'll forward you the correspondence from the people who sent us the quote. And you can make a determination as assembly how you would like to move forward with that. I mean, that's not really in my wheelhouse to make.
Well, the question right. is actually on the allocation of funds, since the decision for this purchase was made during the last budget. Are the funds pulled from the previous budget, or are they going to have to be applied to our new budget?
Well, the previous budget, we were flat. There was no other money that would even come over for that.
The communications budget was spent.
We didn't spend any of the communications budget, as far as I know.
Or was it allocated to something else, Kevin?
Then it was allocated for something else.
So why did we think we had the money to spend?
I wasn't on the executive, so I didn't even know about shirts.
So Shelley is on, but I don't know if she remembers what exactly was on the budget before.
We can track that down
later,
offline.
Yeah. So this will be an outstanding question, because I think Gina definitely needs to be here. But yeah.
I guess not to step on you, Ulysses, but really all I was trying to get at was if we don't know where it's coming from and we don't have the quote completely prepared, I don't know if the $500 for communications is enough, not enough, or what. So it's hard to weigh in on it.
Okay. Yeah, understandable. So let's table this. It's basically automatically tabled since we have now expired the time in our meeting, and I want to make sure you all get out on time. So we will not have time to get to resolution 5 to be introduced. Please read over the resolution. If there are questions, please direct them to the sponsors and or the exec board. Please consult, as you just saw on the website, kind of the documentation for parliamentary procedure if there are some additional questions or comments about that, just so we can kind of get them addressed. And we'll take this up again, as well as vote on approving our budget at our next meeting. Please note at our next meeting, which is on the 20th, we have the JA, Michelle Horvath, coming in. She'll be giving a presentation. There were a lot of questions before around what the role of staff is in particular, and how does the code of conduct govern staff, particularly when HR policy is also there. So that those questions will also be answered at this question. And since the code is going through revision, is about to go through a very large revision, this will be a great time for you all to get involved in that conversation as well. If there's no other business, do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I'll make a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
It's been a motion to adjourn. Is there a second? I'm assuming so. There we go. So with that, no dissent, go back to work.
Bye, thank Ulysses.
Thank you. Take
care.
Bye,
thank
everyone.
We're in better room next time, I promise.
Yep. All the rest are booked.
So there was a